Shanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parigraha Kacharya Stotarasita Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jaya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prince of all, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srila Sari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jaya. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Sri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki. Shri Jagannath Puri Ki, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go, Premanande Hari Go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Narottamam.
Narayanam Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Jayamudiraye,
Nashta
Prayeshu Padreshu,
Nityam
Bhagavata Sevaya,
Bhagavata
Yutama Shloke,
Bhaktir
Bhavati Naishtiki, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Lord Krishna explains the yoga system. Text number 21. Bhaktyaham
Ikaya
Bhaktyaham Ikaya Krayaha
Bhaktyaham Ikaya Krayaha
Shadayatma
Priya
Satam Shadhayatma Priya Satam
Shadhayatma Priya Satam
Bhakti
Punati
Manishta
Bhakti
Punati Manishta
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Shra
Pakam
Api Sambhava
Shra
Pakam Api Sambhava
Shra Pakam Api Sambhava
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya
Bhaktyaham Ekaya
Shadayatma Priyasatam
Shadayatma Priyasatam
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya
Shadhayatma Priyasatam
Shadhayatma Priyasatam
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Kraya
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Kraya
Shadhayatma Priyasatam
Shadhayatma Priyasatam
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Bhakti Punati Manishta
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Shvapakam Apisambhava
Quick. Please chant.
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya Shadhayatma Priyasatam Bhakti Punati Manishta
Shvapakam Apisambhava Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya
Shadhayatma Priyasatam Bhakti Punati Manishta Svapakam Apisambhava
Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya Translation. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Would you like to repeat?
Yes.
Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service,
only by practicing unalloyed devotional service,
with full faith in me,
with full faith in me,
can one attain me,
can one attain me,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of God.
I am naturally dear to my devotees.
I am naturally dear to my devotees.
Who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service,
even the dog eaters
can purify themselves
from the contamination of their low birth.
Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Sambhava indicates jati doshat, or the pollution of low birth. Jati dosha does not refer to mundane social, economic, or professional status, but rather to one's degree of spiritual enlightenment. All around the world, many people are born into rich and powerful families, but they often acquire abominable habits that are part of their so-called family tradition. However, even unfortunate persons who are taught from birth to engage in sinful activities can at once be purified by the potency of pure devotional service. Such service must have Lord Krishna as the only goal, mandishta, must be rendered with full faith, shraddhaya, and must be unalloyed or without any selfish motivation, ekaya.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Tadati Svaparantikam Valeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahana Sadhaitam Sadhatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Hara Sahara Lalita Sri Vishakanditamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishnaya Kuntale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaktate Shatarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Mutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Namine Sri Parshavana Videvi Daitaya Kupadaye Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Dame Prabhade Namaha Madhuro Chwala Primadya Sri Rupanura Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shimurtaye Dinatarine Rurumanura Virudhava Siddhanta Twanta Harine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralanda Sambode Parambhujaya Ke Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuda Parayate Gora Virbhava Bhuvanestra Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vanchakamba Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Kevacha Patitanam Pavanegyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Krishna Rena Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaura Vishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Damani Bhakti Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayantam Sudato Bango Mama Mandavate Gati Matsarvasva Padambojo Radha Madano Mano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumata Srimad Radhana Parashimha Sanasto Srimad Radha Shunda Govinda Devo Vrishtalini Sivya Manusnami Srimana Sarasarandi Vamsi Vajata Tastita Karshan Venu Swami Gopi Gopinata Shrestuna Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Lakhe Vrindavadeshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Keshavastaja Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga, Jai Nishinga, Jai Jai Nishinga, Prahlada Desha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Ringa, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasari Devura Bhakta Vrinda,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Bhaktyaham Mekaya Krahya, Shadhyatma Priyasatam, Bhakti Punati Manishta, Shrapakam Apisambhava. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. We've had topics for each morning, and they relate to progressive stages of advancement in devotional service. These topics were suggested to me by Radha Mohan and Shyamohini. And today, the topic is, I forgot exactly how you worded it.
Providing overcoming obstacles.
Overcoming obstacles. Propelling through, flushing the internal systems, overcoming obstacles. Propelling. So when you repel, you need some propellant. Yesterday we talked about finding the right commander. And in the process of doing that, we talked about how one comes to devotional service through faith. Faith comes from agyata sukriti, which means unknown pious credits gained by association with devotees who are walking places of pilgrimage. Adau shraddha tata sarusangata bhajana kriya. And when one gets faith, one comes into the association of devotees. And in the association of devotees, one takes up a regulated practice of devotional service. This is bhajana kriya. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan are spoken of by Srinivasacharya, Sankhya Purvakanama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Kritao, that they took up the regulated practice of devotional service. Sankhya means that they counted how much they did every day. There was numerical strength. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Kritao. They had a certain number of rounds they chanted, a number of times they bowed down each day. They set this example of performing strict, serious, and sincere devotional service. And this is the beginning point from which one approaches the stage of anartha nivritti, or flushing the system, as the topic indicates today. When you start to clean your room, it may look fairly okay, but once you start to move the furniture and get behind the curtains, you become aware that there's a lot more than you thought there was. Or is it just me? And then sometimes, if you clean one part, then you think, oh, the other part needs to be clean, and then you start thinking, I think I need to paint, and then you paint, and you think, I definitely need new drapes, because they just don't look right anymore. And although when one begins the process of devotional service, it may look like there's just one thing. I'm ecstatic to be here. As we progress in devotional service, then there's more than one thing. Just like when you make ghee, you take butter, it's one thing. But when you heat it up, the impurities start to come out, one after another, and they have to be separated away. So as I begin the process of devotional service, the impurities will become more apparent because I'm looking for them now, and also because Krishna is helping from within the heart. Shrinvatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana pridyantaksto hyapadrani vitunoti suritsatam. He's the surit, and he's helping from within the heart to separate out the impurities that are there within the heart so that we can advance in devotional service. Of course, it's not that, as Prabhupada said, Arjuna received the instructions from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and then he said, Krishna, you fight the war, I'll sit down here and smoke ganja. He actually had to go fight the war. In fact, after he had received the instruction of Krishna, he was even more expert, or he used all his expertise. He had the expertise, but he used it all in Krishna's service. He didn't give up any of the talents, skills that he had, but he engaged them all in Krishna's service. Similarly, we must give our own effort in the process of flushing the system. In the pastime of Krishna's being chased by his mother, Yashoda, and eventually tied up. Actually, she tied him up. She didn't know how much more mischief he would get into, and she was worried about him. And Vrindavan's a place, there's a lot of things that can happen, a lot of trouble that kids can get into. There are monkeys, there are all kinds of animals, there are dangers. And so, when Mother Yashoda went to tie up Krishna, after she had chased him down, and he allowed her to catch him, she took some ropes, and there's lots of ropes in Vrindavan, because they're cowherders, and there's ropes everywhere, because you need rope when you have cows. So she put some rope, and she was going to tether him to the grinding mortar, and the rope she used was 2 inches too short. So she got more rope, and it's still 2 inches too short after connecting it. And the neighboring women thought this was amusing, so they were bringing more rope also. And as she added the rope, it was still 2 inches too short. Then she became a little bit fatigued. She was perspiring. Krishna noticed her fatigue, and he allowed himself to be bound. Who can bind Krishna except for his devotee? Because he's submissive to his devotee's love. So he allowed Mother Yashoda to bind him. 2 inches are significant. 1 inch means the devotee's own effort, and the other inch means Krishna notices our effort, and he helps us. So, when we take the bhajana kriya, which means taking a vow to regularly chant Hare Krishna and to avoid the offenses in chanting Hare Krishna, and then, of course, there are 64 items or 63 more items besides chanting Hare Krishna, which are listed in the Nectar of Devotion from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We are Rupanugas. We are followers of Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada is a Rupanuga, follower of Rupa Goswami. And we follow these 64 items of devotional service. Among them is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when we begin to chant, then the purification process begins. In fact, this chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful that when someone chants Hare Krishna, even unknowingly, he or she is engaging in Nama Pas and is receiving the radiation from the holy name. Even if you can't see it, it has its power. Thakur Haridas explained this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are different levels of Nama Pas. There's lower level and higher level. Lower level means that the name of Krishna may be in a word like, what did we see the other night? The Rama? What was it?
Dalarama.
Dalarama. It's a huge sign that says Dalarama. It was very satisfying to see that Dalarama. People are coming to Dalarama and chanting the holy name. Also, someone may say the holy name jokingly. When they see a Hare Krishna, they say, oh, Hare Krishna, where's your hair? Or something. They think it's funny, and they're just joking. Or they might write a comic strip to, you know, lampoon the, you know, the devotees. And so these are different levels. Also, someone might say something derogatory. Prabhupada said, when we were out on Sankirtan, if someone comes by and they think, oh, there's that rascal Krishna man, because they thought Krishna, they get purification. There's namabhas. In San Francisco, at the Rath Yatra in 1970, there were two articles that came out in the local paper about the Rath Yatra. One of them was a article in which the author was glowing about how nice the devotees were and went on and on, but he didn't say Hare Krishna. And in the other article, the author was criticizing the devotees, but he said Hare Krishna many times. And Prabhupada, of the two articles, preferred the latter. He said, this one's better. Because he said Hare Krishna more times. And he told us that his spiritual master used to judge an article by how many times it said Krishna and Chaitanya to see how potent it was. Ramanyanantasya Yashon Kitani yet. There are names of Krishna, then it's potent. Lower level of namabhas is like that. Even an account of a Muslim who was saying haram, haram, oh how horrible, because he was being killed by a boar and attained liberation from uttering the name haram, haram. Then there's higher level namabhas, which means is called Shraddha namabhas. And that is the stage at which I'm chanting, but I'm still distracted. I'm chanting, but I don't have a taste. But I do have faith. I have faith that there's something in this name, and that the people who are chanting it are good, and then the previous acharyas who have chanted it are my leaders, and I'm going to follow them, even if I don't have taste. This is Shraddha Namabhas. And Thakur Haridas says that someone who chants in Shraddha Namabhas will come to the highest stage of chanting, Ashudhanam, will come to the highest, most pure stage of chanting Hare Krishna because of chanting with faith. And those in the lowest stage of Namabhas, when they chant, they get liberation. And the holy name, the Namabhas, like the sun, sometimes even when you can't see it, it has its effect. Last year, San Francisco Rath Yatra, in the summertime, as any of you know who have been to San Francisco in the summertime, it's the coldest time of year. There's heat in the valley and it pulls in the fog. So right around the San Francisco area, it's foggy and very cold and windy. And during the Rath Yatra, I was running around helping to organize the book tables, and it was a foggy, cloudy day, so I didn't wear a hat. But the next day, I was sunburned. And I thought, how is this? There was no sun. But it came through the clouds. And similarly, in Shraddha Namabhas, you may not see it yet, but it's there. The radiation is coming through when we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the effect is profound. So I mention this because in Bhajana Kriya we take a vow that we're going to chant Hare Krishna whether we have a taste or not, because we have faith in the holy name. And as we do, the holy name will have we'll develop a relationship with Krishna.
Evam vrata swa priyanamakirtya jatana rago chita chita uchar. Hasatito rotati rauti gayati unmadavan rittati lokabhayaha.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the name from his spiritual master and began to chant, he came back later to ask his spiritual master, whose name was? His name was Srila Vishvadapuri. And he came back to his spiritual master and said, what kind of mantra did you give me? He said, now, when I chant this mantra, I cry, and I fall on the ground, and sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I dance like a madman. I don't care for outsiders. Someone on Friday night at the program came up and said that they were asking a question about chanting. There's a woman who said, whenever I chant in the kirtan, I start crying. I can't help it. She said, is there something wrong with me? And I said, that's interesting, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the same question to his spiritual master. Is there something wrong with me? And his spiritual master said, very good, very good. He was extremely happy to hear this. And then he quoted this verse. He gave this verse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said it's the most essential verse in the Bhagavatam. Evam vrata swa priyanamakirtya. That one takes a vow to chant Hare Krishna, one gradually comes to the perfectional stage of chanting. Through this vow of chanting Hare Krishna, one's heart melts. Druta chitta. The chitta becomes druta. It becomes melted. Because in material life, the heart becomes calcified and hard. And it's compared in the Bhagavatam to being an iron-framed heart. And with that iron frame around it, there's no feeling and there's no love flowing from that heart. But the name will melt the heart, the process of bhajana kriya, by taking the process of chanting Hare Krishna under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Then gradually the heart will melt, and then one acts like a madman, says the verse. Dancing in public, without caring for outsiders, sometimes crying, rolling on the ground. The static symptoms come to devotees, they can't check them generally, but many of them do. Srila Prabhupada didn't show any external symptoms. Several times he became stunned in front of devotees. Sometimes tears poured from his eyes. But he generally was stoic and did not show these symptoms externally. However, commenting on the verse, the acharyas have said that not all advanced devotees who are experiencing this ecstasy show symptoms externally. They hide them. However, Madhvacharya says, all advanced devotees show two symptoms. One is steadiness. And the second is merciful speech. Mukha prasada. Whatever they speak is meant for the benefit of others. It's merciful, because that's what's in their heart. In fact, everyone carries envy within their heart. It's one of the anartas. It's all pervading in the material world, envy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it in his song, Amara Jivana. Then when I see somebody happy, I become morose. And when I see someone morose and despondent, I become very happy. This is the plight of the conditioned soul, to have this kind of envy for others. But the person who becomes purified by the process of association with devotees and taking up the process of bhajana kriya gradually becomes free from this envy and appreciates others and loses the propensity to criticize others. In a managerial sense, as Mother Praharana will tell you, there are cases in which you might have to criticize someone. So we're not talking about becoming a... we're not talking about not interacting or doing your duty. But this kind of envy is a fault when it is meant to drag others down. The spirit of it is that someone who's advancing devotional service, who's giving up this envy within the heart, becomes a well-wisher to others and wants to help them. So even if they are giving some kind of criticism, it's meant to improve that person, not to embarrass them or drag them down, etc. Mukhya prasada. So this is the sign of advancement. The envy that's within the heart should be carefully checked, because if it comes out when it's in the heart, it rests there, but when it comes out through the tongue, it can actually pierce the heart. It can pierce the heart of another, and it can cause great damage in one's devotional life. So, along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, there's also the very important stricture that one should avoid the 10 offenses in chanting the holy names. And then, as one does this, lives a life of simultaneously chanting Hare Krishna and avoiding the 10 offenses, then there's a purification process that takes place in one's life. And as with any discipline, when I first take to the process, I'm not going to be very good at it, because that's natural for a beginner to start off and be crummy at something and have to practice and go through stages in order to get good at it. And so there's a list of things which are symptomatic of someone who's beginning devotional service, which are given in the Madhurya Kadambini, which start off with a phrase which means utsahanmayi, which means early zeal. Early zeal means I took the devotional service 3 weeks ago, and I'm a pure devotee. And I know everything. And watch out, because here I come. This is a tendency of anyone who's, well, not anyone, but most people who start something, like learning to play the piano, get a few lessons under their belt, and they start thinking that they're really good. Those who are more advanced in playing the piano recognize that they have a long way to go. And they admire people who are actually accomplished, because they know how much work it takes. Besides that, there are other symptoms which include not being able to keep a vow. I make a vow, and then 2 weeks later, my mind says, you know, why'd you do that? And there are waves of material life which can carry one away. There are many, many kinds of unsteadiness listed. Anishta. Anishta Bhajanakriya means my chanting and my practice is unsteady. So, one of the offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So there's a point at which, when I mentioned those 2 inches, that I have to make personal endeavor to find out where those anarthas are and expunge them from my heart. Now, how do I do that? With Krishna's help. Because he's Suhrit, he's the friend within the heart. I may feel that I'm not powerful enough to do that, and that's true. Because the anarthas are like demons. They stay within the heart. And who's the great killer of all demons? Samashitaye parapalava plavam mahatpanam punya yasho maralehe. Krishna is the killer of the Mura demon. And he's famous all over the universe as the killer of many, many demons. Parichanaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. In fact, Prabhupada notes that when he came to the earthly planet, he did a lot more killing than he did loving. Killed so many demons. Most of the pastimes you'll find throughout are about Krishna killing demons, and that's a good thing. The demons who were killed got great benefit. Putana, for example, was the first demon we hear about who came into the home of Nandan Yashoda and she disguised herself. Although she was a child killer, that was her profession. She was a witch, and she would go around and kill children by contract. She was on contract from Kamsa to come and kill Krishna. So she was going around killing children. She came in disguised as a very beautiful young woman. And in that loving environment, when many, many mothers were coming and holding Krishna and taking care of him, they just allowed her to come in. And she saw him lying there, and it occurred to her subconsciously that there was death personified. Apana samsrita gurim yannama vishodrinam tata sadhya vimucheta yabhipeti swayam bhayam. Krishna is feared by fear personified. So those who approach Krishna thinking that they'll do some harm to him, they become fearful. So Putana saw Krishna lying there, and she could sense that her end was near. And when Krishna opened his eyes and saw this Putana, then he closed his eyes. He didn't want to see her. There were different ideas by different acharyas why he closed his eyes. But she picked him up, and she had this plan that she smeared deadly poison on her nipple, and she was going to offer her breast milk to Krishna, but the idea was to kill him with this poison. So she picked him up, and Krishna took the nipple, took the poison, took the milk, and sucked out her life air, killed her. And she was screaming and trying to get the little baby off of her, and he wouldn't let go. And she reassumed her gigantic form as a demoness. And incidentally, she fell when she died, and she crushed huge groves of beautiful trees, an orchard. It was Kamsa's orchard. She didn't touch anything else in Vrindavan except for Kamsa's prized trees, and she smashed every one of them. Now, in the Bhagavatam, this pastime is mentioned because it's mentioned by Uddhava. Uddhava was pure devotee of the Lord, and he was remembering this pastime. Aho bhakiyam stanakala putam. He was saying in this mood of separation from Krishna, remembering how wonderfully it is. He said that, aho bhakiyam stanakala putam. How wonderful it is that this demoness, the sister of Bakasura, Bhaki, aho bhakiyam stanakala putam, had come to kill Krishna, but she ended up benedicted by him. What kind of benediction? She became a kind of mother in the spiritual world, his eternal mother. She was given this highest of benedictions by Krishna. Why? Because she came with two intentions, one to kill Krishna and the other to act like his mother. So what did Krishna do? He accepted the part where she was acting like my mother. And he discarded the other part. Oh, incidentally, she was trying to kill me. And this Uddhava noticed, he said, who else would you surrender to? Who else would you call out to besides Krishna? Because he's so merciful that he didn't consider Putana was trying to kill him. He only considered that she came as mother, and she gave him that benediction. So Krishna is so kind and merciful that he will kill the demons in our heart. Those are the things, the demons may be those things that are the material desires I'm maintaining. And what does it mean to maintain material desires even after understanding so many instructions on the matter? Maintain. What do you maintain? Anybody maintain anything? I'm not talking about material desires, just anything. What do you maintain? On a regular daily basis, what do you keep maintenance of? Yes? Your house and your car. So, cars require maintenance, don't they? You gotta take them in for regular servicing. Every 5,000 miles, you gotta get an oil change, right? How about plants? You take care of any plants? Plants, pets, kids, maintenance required. Body requires maintenance. It means you got to check in on it and make sure it has what it needs. And you, with plants, you know, you water them every once in a while. So material desires are lurking within my heart, and I shouldn't maintain them. However, if I do, it's an offense that I know it's there, but I let it stay there, and I maintain it, just like a little plant. And how to get rid of that? I have to ask Krishna for help. So, what is my part? What is my work in purging the system? What is my one inch that I have to move? It's this. I have to have the strength to say, I don't want to give this up. Otherwise, why am I maintaining it all this time? However, Krishna, I know how powerful you are, and you can take this anarta away from me. Therefore, I am opening the door. I don't want to watch, but I'm leaving the door open, at least unlocked. You please come in whatever way you want, at least a window open. Come in and please take it out. Please take that out. And if I chant with that intention, it's scary actually. I heard some conversation the other day, someone was saying that, you know, if you do that, Krishna might actually, you know, ruin your life or something. He might really take away everything, and then what are you going to do? Because in conditional devotional service, I have my part, I have my devotional service, and I have my other part of my life. So we worship the deity. Sometimes we say it's a form that we can handle. And one way that we can actually touch him and bathe him. Another way, well, what if Krishna started speaking to me while I was doing the worship and he said, you know, I need you to feed me a little more, and I need you to spend the rest of the day. In fact, spend the rest of the week. And I might say, yeah, but I got a job, you know. I got to go. I'd really like to help you out, but I got things to do. In conditional life, I have so many obligations. And Krishna's saying, Sarvadharman paritya ja mame kam sharanam raja. Aham tom sarva papi bhyo mokshi shami masucha. Just give up everything and don't worry. I'll protect you. But I maintain so many things. Of course, I'm not advocating also that one should unnaturally renounce everything. However, I do have to become conscious and aware that these anartas are there and identify them. There's a list of them given by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the section of the cleansing the Gunicha temple. Gunicha Marjana, cleansing the temple, is analogous to cleansing one's heart. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleaned the Gudicha temple many, many times and brought out the straw, larger particles, and then smaller and smaller and smaller. And similarly, I must analyze carefully what are the anartas within my heart. And while I'm chanting, take advantage of Krishna's great power. Also, guhyamakyati prichati means that I have to reveal my mind in confidence to like-minded devotees. And by revealing my mind and getting advice and hearing other advanced devotees reveal their minds, there's a way in which I can also expose the anartas to the light of day. That's what you want to do, bring them out. I had a realization once when I was driving along, there was a thought floated through my mind with some material attachment, and then I thought, easy to get rid of, you just offer it to Krishna. And then some other little demoniac voice in my head said, no, don't do that, because if you do, then you're going to lose it. And I thought, there you are, you little rat. You're the one who wants to maintain material attachments. And then it occurred to me that you know, it's actually the process is, if you bring it out in the light of day and open the box, it gets destroyed by the light. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after he says that it's not my doing that the living entities in the material world and struggling with these things. It is actually the impetus of the individual soul to be to go on in this way, and it's because of the covering of ignorance that he does so. But when one comes to the light of knowledge, it's like the sun coming out, and then all of one's difficulties are immediately vanquished because of the light of knowledge. Gyanina tudada gyanam. It destroys ignorance. The knowledge that destroys ignorance, and then I come to full light. So in the process of anartha nivritti, we must be conscious, make a conscious effort to remove the anarthas from within our heart. If we do, then the process is speedy. Otherwise, it's a prolonged struggle. I remember when I was a little kid, my mom took me to the doctor to get a shot, and I hated getting shots. And she was telling me that, I'd get ice cream afterwards if I was good, and I thought I could handle it, and I was trying to be really good, and then I just panicked at the last minute. And I was squirming in the whole thing. And she was really angry with me and didn't give me ice cream afterwards. I'm still, I haven't gotten over it. But I was always thinking about that, how... I got some last night, I feel a little better. I was just thinking how if I was able to go through the process without fighting it, it would have been so much easier. And otherwise it's prolonged and drawn out and there are repercussions. But of course, in the course of advancing devotional service, there may be missteps. There will be missteps. There's no doubt about it. There will be missteps. Prabhupada mentions in the light of the Bhagavad that missteps may not be detrimental. They may be the pillars of success. Atmam pam yena sarvatra. Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the best yogi is the one who has compassion for others. And many of our teachers, gurus, are those who are coming from the side of the material world and then coming up through sadhana bhakti to the perfectional stage. And in one sense, having that kind of instruction from someone who's been through the process of anartha nivritti is very beneficial, because you have someone who's had missteps, who's actually been through life in many different ways and has deep experience of what it takes to have a misstep and then rectify and then come up to a higher position. And therefore, that person also has compassion and can appreciate how others are struggling and what is the process to assist them in devotional service. So, purging the system, propelling forward, means that there's a consciousness that I'm moving forward, and I need to have a goal to move forward, and I have to make conscious effort to remove the anarthas from within my heart. As I do, this will help me purge the system. There's a lot more to say about this first, but I'm going to ask for questions now. So that, yes. Do we have an extra microphone?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Like you mentioned, that when you start
the process of devotional service, there's cleansing, so we see the dust come out, and in our lives they come to light. However, we've also heard that if we chant inattentively, then we sometimes water the weeds. So I was wondering, if we see our narthas in our face, is that because the process is working, or is it because we're failing to really process the other unwanted things that are actually coming out?
Well, if you're asking that question, then you're not failing in devotional service because you're discriminating. And the first an important thing is awareness. What happens when anarthas grow up and you don't know it is you're unaware of it. In other words, you take your eye off the road and therefore you're not analyzing, you're not asking that question. Is it because of this or is it because of that? When you start asking the question, this brings the light of day. This is what I mean about being conscious. That's part of the effort of looking at it and taking it out of the box and take it around. Take it for a spin. Hey, take a look at this. What do you think? Anartha, or is it, you know, what do you think? A good thing? Or and, you know, if you get advanced association, people look at it and go, you know, that's a bad thing. You know, you should stop that. You should rectify that. Or someone might say, you know, no, you're making advancement. You could check in with several sources. You know, look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, how he made decisions. And even when he took sannyas, you know, it was an arduous process. He said that his spiritual master came to him in dreams and it was calling him to come out and take sannyas, which meant, you know, preaching and in a really different way. And Prabhupada said, I was horrified. And then he went to different god brothers and he asked them, what do you think? And he got different opinions, but then finally, you know, through this process, he came to one god brother, said, no, your spiritual master's calling you, you should do it now. And everything lined up and he did it. So in moving forward in spiritual life, we may have questions. We will have questions. It's not an easy thing to find your way. It means that you'll be in a conundrum about, you know, exactly what to do and how to move. But be imaginative and be take alacrity in moving forward to find out how to move. Go to the various sources. Pramanais tat saracharais tarabhyasar nirantaram. Bodhayanatmanatmanam bhakti mahyutamam labhet. How to attain the highest level of bhakti? Shastra says, you take help. Pramanais, from the praman, Shastra praman. Pramanais tat saracharais. And then you have your regulations of good behavior, and abhyas, and practice, doing something over and over again, and you have to, you know, take it out and compare and see how I'm doing. Then you'll know by this kind of awareness, a very aware practice. Be concerned, you know, is it okay, is it not okay, and have some mentors and that you're taking help from and ask these questions. Don't leave it, bring it out. The more you bring it out, the more you'll get clarity. Okay? All right.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. You were mentioning how sometimes missteps can be a good thing, that some of our teachers and gurus, they've gone through that, and that's why they have so much compassion. But when we go through that, or when I go through that sometimes, and then I see someone, and maybe I've gone past that stage and have rectified it, but I see somebody else go through that, then there's a judgmental type of aspect comes into play. So how can I stop from my heart becoming hard-hearted and actually develop that compassion to help others?
Well, again, if you're noticing it, you're probably working on it already. If you notice that I'm not showing enough compassion, or you feel like you're being judgmental, then you're already judging yourself. and you're looking at it in a certain way, and that kind of awareness will help you. That and that's always going on. Those who are advancing in devotional service notice more their faults. In fact, in a list of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a list of the symptoms of bhava, and he mentions shantira vyarta kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata ashabanda kalashanta namagana sadaruchi, etc. And these nine symptoms of bhava, in their explanation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says one who is advancing devotional service becomes more self-critical and actually feels that I'm not very qualified. When actually they've become very qualified. It's kind of a paradox, because those who advance in devotional service acquire what's called dainya, or extreme humility, and they think, I'm not very good. But they are. So if you're asking the question and you're looking at it, then you'll be adjusting. So keep doing that. And I think that if I'm critical of others when I become more advanced, then I'll also meet another misstep. Because the forces of nature, for instance, that are the most powerful are the most flexible, like water. Water can wear through granite. If you go to Yosemite, you'll see Yosemite is this national park in California. And there's huge granite monuments that came from glacial movement. And then the water that's coming down from waterfalls and other places over hundreds of years, they've worn away this huge granite formations and sometimes made holes through the stone. Now, water is very flexible. It's one of the most flexible elements. Goes around, goes around anything. And therefore it's powerful. Flexibility means strength, actually. And so, if I'm hard-hearted, and I'm also in the process and I'm sincere, there will be more to reckon with that will make me flexible, and I should embrace it. Trinadapi sunichi na. As I become humble and I become flexible, then my outlook on life becomes different, and how I treat people becomes different, and how I move in the world becomes different and more effective. So become like water, and become humble, and practice that. Yeah, become like water. How's that? Something. Okay. Meet that wrong.
Can you say something more about maintaining material attachment? Because it seems to be, if we're maintaining it, that means we have to be conscious of it. And can you just speak more on that? I don't understand it.
Well, there's material consciousness and there's spiritual consciousness. When I awaken to my spiritual consciousness, I mean, material consciousness goes on practically automatically, because that's my conditioning. And if you ask anybody on the street, who are you, they'll tell you. But that's not really who they are. But they have some intelligence to tell you who they are and what they're doing and where they're going, because their spiritual intelligence hasn't awakened yet. The spiritual intelligence awakens out of great good fortune, which I mentioned yesterday. And the process of awakening, or the psychology of someone who's awakening, is explained in a verse of Padyavali. Kama dinam katina katita palita durnideshas tesham jatam aina karuna natrapano pashanti.
Utsri daitana taya rupate samprata labta buddhita tamayata sharanam abhayamam yukshvatma dasye. Person who has gained their spiritual intelligence, labta buddhi, begins to lament their entire time in the material world. They feel, and they ask the question, in fact in this verse, the devotee is asking the question, for how long and in how many ways have I obeyed bad masters? Lust, anger, greed, envy. How long have I obeyed them? Countless years. And they've never given me any mercy. They just ask for service all the time. They said, eat this, and I have to eat it. Speak this, and I have to speak it, because they said so. And they never gave me any time off. But now the devotee who has gained spiritual intelligence is saying, I don't want to serve these bad masters anymore. Utsri jayatanata yadupate samprata labdha buddhis. Now I want to serve Krishna. And therefore I'm approaching him and I'm asking him, please, engage me in your service. Let me have personal service to you, not to these bad masters. So I'm coming out of the conditional experience. The soul has one kind of intelligence, which is going on automatically, the conditioned part. And the other is the awakening of our spiritual intelligence through which we begin to sort through these things. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tad vedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. And the spirit of that verse is that you're going to have these two things side by side because we're coming out of ignorance and into Krishna consciousness, and therefore you have to go deeper into the process of awakening your spiritual intelligence to discriminate which things are harmful to you and seeing that they're how part of you is maintaining them automatically out of habit, second nature habit, Prabhupada used to call it, second nature habit. It goes to also a point of what is an accidental fall down. You ever hear about an accidental fall down? I mean, what is that? How do you have an accidental fall down? Do you know? How can you accidentally fall down? Well, one thing Prabhupada said was, when he was asked that question, he said, Prabhupada, what's the difference between an accidental fall down and an intentional fall down? And Prabhupada said, if they come back to Krishna consciousness, it was accidental. Yeah, it's Krishna's view in the Bhagavad Gita where he says that even if one commits the most abominable activity, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly. Because that's his intention to move forward. In the next verse, Sri Prabhupada Dharma Ma Shashvat Shantam Nagachati Kontiya Pratijanihi Nami Pakti Pranashati. He says, quickly that person will become righteous and come to the top position. And Prabhupada addresses the point in the purport about how someone who's a pure devotee can be considered a pure devotee if he intentionally or unintentionally falls down. As he goes on with the process. What else are you going to do? And Krishna rectifies. Supada mulam vajata priyasya taktanya bhavasya hari parishaha. Vikarma yachchotpati tankatanchit tunoti sarvam priti sanivishtaha. Karbhajana Muni says, does everyone know who Karbhajana Muni is? 20 points if you know who Karbhajana Muni is. Who's Karbhajana Muni? He's one of the Navayogendras. And who are the Navayogendras for 40 points? Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayana, Abhirochara. Okay, 25 points. They were the sons of Rishabhadev. He had 100 sons. 9 of them became the world famous, intergalactically famous, Navayogis, who met Maharaj Nimi, who asked him all kinds of questions, and their answers are there in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what was my point? I got distracted. Oh, the verse given by Karbhajana Muni, Supadamulam Vajatapriyasya, Taktanya Bhavasya Haripriyasya. It says that if a devotee is engaged in vikarma accidentally, because his intention in life is to surrender to Krishna, his bhava is Taktanya Bhavasya Hari. It means he wants to attain Krishna. He wants to give up all other things for Krishna. But if accidentally, somehow or other, he falls into vikarma, then Krishna from within the heart rectifies him because he knows his sincerity. So sincerity is ironclad. It means that that I sincerely repent whatever condition I'm in, and whatever conditioning is still there, I regret it, and I'm sincere about getting rid of it, even if I can't immediately do it. Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 31st verse, that verse, Ye me matam idam nityam manutishtanti manava. The purport is profound because he said, those who are great scholars in the Bhagavad Gita and can write all kinds of flowery words about it, but aren't devotees of Krishna, will never go back to Godhead. But those who are sincere devotees, even if they don't know that much, but if they're sincere, and even if they can't follow the process completely, he said they'll go back to Godhead because they're sincere. So we have to awaken our intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, and also we have to be very sincere. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Two questions, they're interrelated. One is, when you're trying to instruct someone and give them some devotional service, sometimes when you cross the line, it becomes interpreted as an offense by the person trying to instruct me to. That's my first question.
Can I do one at a time?
Sure.
Well, St. Francis once told his disciples, you should preach all day long, and sometimes you should even say something. So there's a way that if we have the, in those that we're dealing with and trying to help, we should have a very solid relationship, first of all. And part of that goes, here's some secular knowledge. The writer Stephen Covey talks about an emotional bank account. And the way the emotional bank account works, for instance, between a husband and wife, is you both consider that you have a bank account in your heart, each. And that every time you do something thoughtful for the other person, you've made a deposit. And every time you do something thoughtless, then you've made a withdrawal. Now you better, you want to keep a good amount in your bank account. And this goes for dealing with anybody. You're dealing with your dependents, your community members, your family members, your disciples, whoever it is. You should have this kind of feeling, ongoing feeling of how you're supporting them and being aware of them and taking care of them and filling the emotional bank account. Because then when it comes to giving some instruction, you're likely to have their goodwill. And it's like in fundraising. You know the formula for fundraising? You must, because this place is very opulent. There's a formula, which is? What is it?
Friend-raising,
yeah. And, but specifically, the numerical formula is, yes? If you ask for advice, you'll get money. If you ask for money, you'll get advice. Yeah, that's true too. That's one of the tenets of fundraising. Another is, give 7 times, ask once. Give 7 times, ask once. So when you're in an environment where you have to instruct people,
give seven times and then instruct once. So if you have to, and then you have to continually build goodwill, and people have to see your integrity and all that. And then when you give it some instruction, when it's very much necessary, then they'll take it. And what's the second part?
The second question was, the first offense of the 10 offenses uproots the roots of the pre-devotion, the devotion that uproots the roots of that. Do the other 9 offenses do that as much to the extent as the first offense does?
Well, the first offense, blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, is especially egregious because Krishna is Hari Bhakta Vatsal. He's especially fond of his devotees. And he doesn't tolerate offenses to the devotees. So it is singled out as a particularly dangerous offense, and that we should be particularly careful of that. I mean, if you avoid any of the offenses, you should particularly be careful with that one. Because one way, Krishna comes to us through his devotees. And there's an old saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. You know, it's especially egregious if you take charity from someone, you take help, and then you turn around and, criticize them or something like that. So devotees are dear to Krishna. That offense is particularly harsh. And there's heavy reaction for that. Did that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhupada. I guess the other question was related to that. Do the other 10 offenses? Do the other 9 offenses uproot the tree?
Do the other 9 offenses uproot the tree? Specifically, that one does. Specifically, that one is called the Hatimata offense, and it's like an elephant that comes in and squashes your garden. Other ones are not, it's not mentioned like that, no. Although another one that's particularly heavy is to sin on the strength of chanting. Because that's also a kind of ingratitude. Ingratitude is, Mother Earth can tolerate anything except for an ingrate. And, yeah, so those have particular weight, those two.
Construction. They're going to have to install a central vacuum system soon.
Okay.
So we probably need to wind up a little sooner.
Okay, the last two questions and then that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll answer really succinctly. You won't even believe how succinct.
A few minutes.
Hi, Krishna. I have a question. In the 10 offenses, there's one that says that you shouldn't preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So, like, in terms of, like, what does that really mean? Because, like, when we do book distribution, like, and we're preaching the holy name, like, these people, they feel, you know?
Yeah, preaching is risky. So that's why Krishna gives special consideration to preachers, because we're taking risks, you know, we're going right out there. And we qualify people when we offer them books. We ask them where they're from, and how they're doing, and this and that, and we show them the book. It's not like we just stand on a street corner and just hand them out to everybody and they end up in a trash can. When I used to work in the Los Angeles airport, there was a group called Jews for Jesus, and they had their literature, and they would just hand it out for free. And then there was always a pile of them at the other end of the airport. And I picked one up one day and I looked on it and it said at the bottom, please dispose of properly. And because they were given away for free. We don't do that. That's one of the main reasons that we ask for donations. And I tell everyone that too. I tell them when I ask for a donation, I say, I don't need the money. The reason I'm asking you to give is because when you give, you'll appreciate the book more. You get what's called sukriti, a power to be able to read and appreciate the book. So we should be clear and open and honest with people and do the best we can not to just distribute books to someone who won't appreciate them.
Telling people that we're Hare Krishna, you can tell that to anyone, right? You're not making an offense.
No, you're not making an offense.
So we shouldn't be like secretive or anything in terms of like...
No, people love the Hare Krishnas. Tell everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, let them know. Let them know we're back. Is that okay?
Yeah.
One last question.
Can you give a description of like
I was wondering if you could explain like what it means to be sincere in Krishna consciousness.
Can I describe what it means to be sincere in Krishna consciousness? The definition of sincerity? Boy, I wish I could. I don't know much about it. It means to be the same behind closed doors that you are in front of everyone else. If you're able to do that, it's a good test to see if you're sincere. Do you have the same level do you maintain externally the same when you're in front of a big group as you do when you're by yourself in a room and nobody can watch you and there's no cameras in there, there's no hidden cameras. Because you have a relationship with the Super Soul and you're actually trying to please the Super Soul, not somebody else. And there's an old saying that it's amazing how much you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit. This is another aspect of sincerity, that you're not working to get credit for yourself, but you're working because you want to please Krishna and do the devotional service. And you know that Krishna knows what you're doing. And you're not concerned so much what everyone else knows or doesn't know, because you have this connection, this sincerity that Krishna is there and I'm going to please him. You're welcome. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanande.